It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers on a Can Talk Radio Network with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers, and my best friend, sidekick, and co-host, Lynn Thornley.
Hi, happy Easter, happy Passover.
Yes, happy Easter and happy Passover to all our listeners.
Yes.
We're excited. We're good. Tonight my grandchildren are coming over. We're going to paint some eggs and do a whole bunch of stuff. And we have our fabulous producer on the board, Mr. Peter Blake.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday. What's happening?
Oh, you know what's happening today.
Tell
it's
me.
The Evolution of Sports Talk Radio, your three-hour extravaganza on Saturday afternoons on the Tan Talk Sports Network. It's the Sports Web. I'm your host, Peter Blake, giving you something to think about. Definitely call me up. Talk about sports. Major League Baseball coming back with the Tampa Bay Rays, Tampa Bay Buccaneers talk, hockey talk, all that and more. Saturday afternoons, the Sports Web, the Evolution of Sports Talk Radio. Why do we call it that? Because we give you your own walk-up music. We let you call in twice, and we don't hang up on you like those other sports talk shows do. From 3 to 6 on the Tan Talk Sports Network, it's the Sports Web. I'm your host, Peter Blake. Giving you something to think about. There you go.
Yeah, he gives us something to think about, doesn't he? I always say every week, this boy is on fire.
I think he's thinking about sports.
Yeah, I think so.
That doesn't excite me all that much.
And we have a special guest on the show today, Dr. Mo Pertick, right?
Yep.
We're so glad that you have on the show today. She's the author of Shaking Hands with Alzheimer's Disease, and we're going to talk a lot about that, you know. We have a lot of information to give you guys because we know that the journey's not easy. And I'm so glad you tuned in today because I know your time is really valuable. And what I want to do is give a shout-out to some of our new listeners. So last week we had a new listener, Martina from Germany.
Wow,
that's
excellent.
Exciting. So welcome, Martina.
I still think it's not Travola.
Martina. Maybe. And we have Nancy from Michigan. And Emilio from Seminole. And then we have our friend Bernie in Canada. Bernie's becoming a regular listener.
She is.
But Bernie's sick now,
of course, yes. She's captivated audience this week. She has pneumonia.
Oh.
But she works very hard taking care of her mother and her husband. Her mom's 96. And yeah, she's running herself
caregiver.
Into the ground, which Linda will tell you is not the thing to do.
So you hear us, Bernie? Yep. Get some rest. Feel better. We're sending all our positive energies your way, and we love you. So, Dr. Mo, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, what brought me to Florida was my brilliant mother, who had, she's a pulmonary physician, and she was larger than life. She ran the public health clinics for the city of Chicago, and I never thought she would have dementia. I was living in Seattle. I had a private practice working with anxiety disorders and also working with Fortune 500 companies on the opposite end of dementia, on peak performance and wellness. And I got the phone call that my mother got into a near-fatal car accident.
And how old was she then?
She was 87, because when she was 86, we went scuba diving.
Wow.
Yeah.
She was like my mom.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I was commuting. It didn't look like she'd live. And I was commuting back and forth from Seattle. And finally I decided that, and I promised my father when he died that I would take care of my mom. So I packed up everything from Seattle, and my husband did a reload to Manhattan and New Jersey Transit, and I came here and I took care of my mom. Now, my mom would never let me. She insisted she was perfectly fine.
Of course.
She didn't have any problems. She was driving and she was nearly blind. And
oh, my goodness.
There was no way I could hold her down. And really, it was the accident that stopped her. She looked like she was going to be a quadriplegic, and then she was a para, and then she ended up walking up 13 stairs. So she was, needless to say, a very willful woman. And
yeah.
I was devoted to her, taking care of her. So that's what brought me here. My background, my education's in neuropsychology and holistic health, and I'm also an RN. So, yeah, here I am.
Here you are. And so tell, I want to, you know, I haven't read the whole book, but I looked at a couple of different things, and I just love this one sentence that you wrote here. Bit by bit, she lost the fight. Her mind slipped away, though she never openly admitted anything was wrong.
Right, all the way to her.
To admit a problem was to admit loss of control and acknowledge her fears.
That's it. It's control.
Yeah.
That's right. And I think all of us, all things in life, strive to maintain their balance, called homeostasis. And that's an element of, you know, we can call it our comfort zone, but it's our sense of safety mm-hmm. and security. That starts from birth. And as we deliver, oxytocin is released in our from our body. Mm-hmm. That's the bond, the love chemical, and that's the bonding chemical. And we bond. All things in life bond for life, to life. And that gives us a sense of control. And so Mom would hold on to everything. And for me, at first, I did all the wrong things. Because
you don't know what you don't know.
I really didn't know, because when I was a nurse in geriatrics, it was called organic brain disease. And so I didn't know the right things to do in my practice in mental health. It always was behavior modification. We absolutely don't modify a person with dementia's behavior. You let them.
You can try.
You can try, and it's like beating yourself and really bordering on abuse to the other to the person
exactly.
with dementia.
Yeah.
So, you know, letting my mom think that she did have control over everything, and everything that she said or did really was right. And then things began to flow, and the bond and the empathy, and just distancing myself from taking what she said or did personally as a personal loss of my skills as a practitioner. You know, I'm Dr. Mo. I know everything, right? Well, no, I didn't know anything. So I did all the wrong things, and eventually, as she started to lose her ability to be in, you know, the present world, I would be able to, and I learned to let go and let her have control over what she wanted and what she said.
And what she could still have control over.
And what she could still have control over, which wasn't all too much at the end.
But I'll tell you, I see many times people with dementia, people don't let them do what they can do. They start doing everything for them.
Well, especially caregivers, right?
And they take it all away from them. And they've taken away anything they can do. And then they wonder why they're very angry, and maybe they're deciding they don't want to eat because it's the only thing left that they have some control over.
Right. Eating, and especially medication, is the really big one where, you know, in working with thousands of people now with caregivers and so forth, of medication is kind of the battleground of food and medication, of where they say no. And it's very similar to, say, in the developmental stage of life of a two-year-old. When language starts forming, and the power word that a two-year-old knows is no. And so with dementia, Alzheimer's, the brain function decreases, going from the higher cognition down to very primal language and sounds, and that's no. So when we try to force ourselves on, and our will, and, you know, making sure they eat, making sure they take their meds, toileting, comfort, it may not be that they're really resisting us, it's our approach to them that they're resisting.
Exactly.
And so letting them have the feeling from our compassion and empathy in the way that we look and act and breathe with them and touch a person with dementia is how they will respond to us, and they will trust, and we will give them the feeling that they are in control.
Well, you know, Lynn and I were just talking a couple of weeks ago. There was a gentleman in a community with dementia, and somebody came up behind him mm-hmm. and tapped him from behind, mm-hmm. so he flailed his arm, mm-hmm. and then he got written up for being aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So caregivers out there, we all need an education. We need an education when you're dealing with somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia, because if you learn the proper way to approach somebody, if you learn a lot of these different skills, it will make your journey, I guarantee it, 100% better.
Absolutely. And there's, you know, I did all the wrong things.
Because you don't know.
my heart was in the right place, but the truth also was I was very afraid, I was very anxious, and I was very shook up. This was my mother, who was larger than life, and here she was falling apart before my eyes.
Right.
It was like a knife being stuck in my heart every time I would see her. So, you know, a lot of that, my behavior, my anxiety, I tend to speed up when I'm nervous. I become uber efficient and uber fast. Well, that's the wrong approach.
I kind of get that, Lynn, huh?
That's the wrong approach with somebody with Alzheimer's and dementia. Because as their cognition decreases, the cerebral cortex diminishes, their ability to edit and understand, behavior is interpreted very similar to as the early brain is developing, nonverbal.
Right.
So when what is the first thing that you do? Both of you have had children, right?
No, I have.
You haven't. You have. When you brought that little infant home, what was the first thing that you noticed it did?
Cry.
It cried. And then what did you do when it cried?
Either fed it or changed it or hugged it or rocked her. Or...
Did you look at her first?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And what did she do when you looked at her?
She just looked right back at me.
She glommed onto your eyes, didn't she? It was a bond. It couldn't be broken. That's the beginning of the bond and the communication with somebody with dementia as well. I call it the 10 and 5 approach. They're in their zone, and their world is like as if you were waking up from a dream.
Right.
You know, have you ever had those dreams where you're sleeping deeply and you wake up and you're not sure if it's...
If I'm still in a dream
right.
or what?
So they're in that zone, 10 feet away from somebody that you're approaching. You knock, you wave, you signal that you're approaching. They see you. Their eyes will glom onto you just like and focus onto you just like that baby did when you walk in the room. That's the initial primal part of our brain. That is when oxytocin, the bonding hormone, starts getting released in our body, mom entering, because you melt when you saw that baby. Hopefully. And that baby did as well. There's just a release of that neurochemical. And then the next thing that you do after you look at that baby is, what would you do? You said it. You lifted the baby or held it. And that's the same with a person with dementia or Alzheimer's. You approach them, signal 10 feet away that you're attending, get the eye contact. 5 feet away from them, approach them. If you're standing above them,
sit down. Right.
Get down and just breathe. I try to match the breathing of my clients. I mean, I did that when I was, I worked with anxiety patients.
Right.
And so you get into that rhythm and they look at your eyes, you look at their eyes, and then put your hand out.
Right.
And see what happens. You don't grab them. And like the example that you gave, Linda, of you never go behind them. Because it's like somebody's attacking you.
Right.
Right? They can't see behind you. Plus, their visual perception, all of ours, as we age, starts shrinking.
Right.
All of us, our peripheral vision. So then, reach out your hand and let them... It's a normal response if you even do this in an elevator. Put your hand out to somebody. Probably they'll shake
it.
Depends on what part of town you're in. But And then that part of our hand, the inner part of our hand, it's a if you've gotten massages, it's a reflexive point. It's a very powerful center, the palm of our hand. It's comforting. Just do it now.
I know. I was doing that the other day. Somebody else had said about that. Just rub the inside of your palm.
Right.
It feels good.
So that person, try it. That person that you're approaching with dementia, they're looking at you, you're looking at them. Oxytocin gets released in you. Oxytocin hopefully gets released in them, does get released in them. Then as you're approaching them diagonally, not head on, not, of course, from behind, but diagonally, stop, breathe, look at their eyes, mimic their breathing, reach out. That is a bonding experience. People say, oh, this is going to take too long. It's not going to take too long. It'll take about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Plus, you're calming yourself down. You've established trust with that person. Now, proceed. Acknowledge that person. Just like when I walked in and I met you two beautiful ladies. You know, I acknowledged, or in my mind at least, I did, what a pretty top you have on, what beautiful hair and eyes you have. I didn't quite tell you that, but maybe you picked that up from the way I was looking at
me.
But that's what we do, right? When we want to connect with people, you do that with the person with dementia. They have short-term memory. They feel,
you can say the same thing over and over. And it's wonderful.
They feel you. So this is an experience of feeling each other, and that's what love, that's what bonding is. Yeah. It's you can't tell me what that is. It's a feeling, and it's expressed through our body and body language at first. And
you know, we take care of people we dearly love.
Right.
It's so hard, and when you don't know what to do, and you don't have any education, it's so frustrating.
Right, and that's actually, I had to write this book after my mom died, and I wrote it really, it's a very simple book, large print.
I love the large print.
Large print, very simple language, and concrete exercises and self-awareness tests, so that you can, you know, quickly open up to any page of the book, and you'll get something. You will get something from it, because you're at a loss, and you don't have time to read volumes about Alzheimer's
and dementia. Well, that's like, you know, the 36-hour day.
Exactly. Oh, it's a great book.
If you have a year.
Right. And you're stressed out. The caregiver is stressed out.
Yeah. It has
it's
to be
on
simple.
Survival. Right. So, you know, simple exercises, but just as with anything in life, it starts with ourselves.
Right.
Okay, the caregiver. So I had asked myself, because I didn't want to be living in Florida. I had a beautiful life in Seattle. I mean, I had loved my practice, overlooked Puget Sound. I'm a mountain girl. I like to hike and ski. And this was not in my picture, but, you know, I loved my mother. And so I moved here, and I would find myself getting resentful.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, of course.
Why am I, you know, like, she's so mean to me. Why am I doing this? And I really sat down with myself and I said, well, why are you doing this? You know, because everything is about our intention in life. I mean, why are we here? Why are we doing this? The answer was because you love your mother.
Right.
And I had to remind myself all the time. It's like I you know, should do something or wouldn't do something. And I'm an alpha woman, and I had to stop and breathe and say, I'm doing this because I'm a loving, caring person, and I love my mother. Yep. And that would stop me in my tracks, and the mood, the oxytocin would get released, because I'd get that feeling of peace and love in my heart.
Right.
Even though my cognition went, well, you know, it's 5 to 12, and, you know, I got a lunch date at 12.
Right.
So, understanding the intention, and then that clarifies, you know, the resentment and the exhaustion. But also, as you have, I've read some of your work and looked at your site on Facebook, compassion to self, compassion to the caregiver. And you do some, today you were telling me about some wonderful things that you do for people, for the caregiver, and that's so important. So knowing your intention, but also taking care of yourself. And I had a hard time with that one, too, because I would be guilty if I did anything for myself. I mean, even watching TV.
Right. Because I'm supposed to be doing this.
Right. Like, I'm poor mom, poor this, you know.
Did you go to a support group?
I did not go to a support group. But what I started doing when I moved to Florida, because my expertise is in doing corporate seminars and working with large audiences, and I can speak well, was that I started teaching these programs for the state on Alzheimer's and medications and so forth for certification. So every time I met with caregivers, and these were people that I would never have known in my life, the type of caregivers that I came across. I mean, that was not within my, you know, social group.
Yeah.
These women and men were angels.
Yeah.
They were angels, and I learned so much about true goodness and true care, unconditional love. Not everyone, of course, but most.
Most, yes.
And I would just love to just listen to them. I mean, some of them didn't even know how to speak English.
Right.
And I could just feel them, and I learned a lot.
Everybody has a story, and everyone wants to be heard.
And people that are in this work, I mean, that's why we're here, right? We've all had the experience with somebody with Alzheimer's. But, you know, I learned a lot, and that was kind of my support group. Is I was doing teaching, but I also was with this group of people that took care of people with Alzheimer's. And then I have a meditation group that I have done since I've been 16. And so that was also my support group.
Well, I'll tell you what saved me was journaling.
Journaling is very good.
I didn't know from support groups. I didn't know anything.
Vodka. Well, true. I stopped drinking because I was had to drive. Okay. I was always in the emergency room, so no, I never drank anymore.
Okay, well, but you do bring up a really good point, Lynn, because there is a high incidence of substance abuse with caretakers. Okay, you're exhausted. You don't have time. What do you do when you're exhausted and you're just wanting to numb out and not feel and not think?
Just have a glass of wine.
Have a glass of wine. Have a shot of vodka. Take your mother's drugs.
Oh no, I never. Oh, okay, no,
I'm not.
That's not true. Okay, because I used to take my husband's Xanax when I'd had enough.
Okay, I mean, you know, we don't need to spill out our guts here about our substance abuse history if we even have one. But
I don't have one.
No, but what I'm saying is that
it's present day.
It's these drugs are available,
yeah.
Vicodin, Percocet, Ativan.
Yeah.
I mean, and the caretaker is burnt out. Alcohol, and what kind of food do we have around us?
Junk
food. Are you out exercising and walking?
No, we're worried about, are you eating, the one we're taking care
right.
of?
Exactly.
Are you going to the bathroom?
Exactly.
Are you taking your medication?
Exactly.
Not us.
Exactly.
Okay, I'm yakking along here, and I got to realize we need to hear from our partners, because if we don't hear from our partners, you won't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back. That's what friends are
for good times and bad. The first shock came when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But even more terrible was the realization that Mom wasn't going to be able to care for him on her own. I struggled through sleepless nights and was completely overwhelmed with sadness and anxiety as the disease progressed. Mom could no longer cope with Dad's sudden mood swings and the changes in behavior on her own. In different ways, they both needed help. Then I called Assisting Hands, and I'm so thankful for them. So is my mom. Once again, we both have peace of mind.
Alzheimer's and dementia are devastating diseases, not only for the patients, but for their closest family members. At Assisting Hands, we understand these geriatric disorders, and our staff can provide personalized home care support services that will allow for more freedom to the spouse and family during the transition stages of the disease. Please call Assisting Hands today at 813-280-4838 for your personal in-home consultation at no cost. When you can't do it all,
give Assisting Hands a call. Serving Pinellas and Pasco counties. Call them today at 813-280-4838. That's 813-280-4838. Let them help you out. Some resources, a support group, inspiration. You can find it all at www.lindascaregiverconnections.com. lindascaregiverconnections.com. There is a calendar of support groups and caregiver events, a weekly blog, important telephone numbers, and people and companies of integrity like elder care lawyers, home health care companies, geriatric care managers, movers, and many more. If there is something you're looking for that you do not find there, please feel free to email me, and I will find the resource you are looking for. Want to nominate a caregiver, download the caregiver affirmation, or listen to this week's show or previous weeks? Just go to www.connectingcaregiversradio.com. Connectingcaregiversradio.com. Need a caregiver coach for one-on-one coaching or as a family? Or if you wish to have me speak at one of your events, just give me a call at 727-365-8383. That's 727-365-8383. That's me, Linda Burhan, the gal who cares for the caregiver.
Remember how you felt when you were a child? Your body was full of life and vital energy.
You are healthy. St. Petersburg chiropractor Dr. Colette Chesko has been helping people to recapture that youthful vitality through chiropractic care for the past 13 years. And she's been helping me personally for the past 3 years. Not every chiropractor provides the same type of services. As a chiropractor specializing in corrective care, which is restoring the proper alignment of the spine, not just treating symptoms, Dr. Colette provides patients with a variety of services in addition to chiropractic adjustments, including acupuncture, nutrition, and massage. By using these natural methods, she helps patients of all ages restore their health without using drugs or surgery. The most cost-effective way to achieve health is to maintain good health. Once you have reached your goals, she will help you stay there and feel better for good. So give her a call. Dr. Colette Chesko at Gentle Touch Chiropractor and Wellness Center in St. Petersburg. That's at 727-235-3265. I know you will feel better.
When I first met you, Linda, I was a mess. My dad's dementia, especially the daily stress and agitation, was causing our whole family stress, even losing caregivers repeatedly. Thankfully, someone had suggested we try hemp-infused coconut oil daily. We couldn't believe it. Almost immediately, we noticed a difference, and so did the caregivers. Today, he smiles more. Our family and caregivers do, too. He sleeps better and is a calmer person. It took a long time for us to find a quality CBD product we felt comfortable giving Dad. That's why I started CR World, a company dedicated to providing quality hemp products rich in CBD for seniors and their families, driven by education.
Colette, you really look like a different person. Happier, healthier, and smiling. I'm so happy about that. So for our listeners to find out how CBD is making a difference safely and naturally, you can go to www.comecrworld.com/caregivers. That's comecrworld.com/caregivers. And you can order yours today.
I see trees of green,
red roses too.
I see them bloom
for me and you. And I think to myself,
what a wonderful world.
Okay, caregivers, now it's time for the caregiver affirmation. Take a minute. Take a deep breath, sit down, close your eyes if possible, and just listen to these words. I know on my journey there is help and hope. I affirm that I am a good caregiver, that I try my best each day, and I recognize that I deserve to have my own needs met just as much as those for whom I care. I promise I will not allow myself to be consumed by my caregiving role, and I will set aside time in my busy schedule just for me. I am mindful of the other caregivers in my life, and I will let them know that I appreciate their efforts. I am grateful for the people that walk beside me. I will take good care of my own health physically and spiritually, drink enough water, eat quality foods, allow for time to rest and to exercise, laugh often, if only at myself, and seek medical attention for my own health concerns. I am who I am, and I allow others to be who they are. Today I will add one item to my assisting angels list. Then if someone calls to say, let me know if there's something I can do, I will be ready to accept their offer and provide them with the opportunity to assist me. It is an honor to be of service of others, and I will not deny my friends and family this honor. Okay, think about it, caregivers.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network.
Yep, think about that caregiver affirmation, guys, and take a little time for yourself. And I want to give us, we have a little tip here from Dr. Colette Chesko, Dr. C. And the tip this week is hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. Do you know that you are taller in the morning because your discs rehydrate and expand when you sleep? If you are dehydrated, this cannot happen. Dehydration also increases the perception of pain. Muscles, joints, and discs, and even organs need hydration. So go for like 2 glasses of water when you wake up in the morning, and then at least 8 throughout the day. And I can attest to this because I drink a whole bottle of water before I even get out of the bed.
And
I'd be waiting a bit.
I do go to the bathroom a lot, but it's good stuff. And sometimes I feel like I'm getting a little headache, and I just drink a bottle of water, and I feel better. So that's a little tip for today. Lynn, there was something else you wanted to mention today, right?
I do. Wonderful bill signed this week by Governor Scott. I figured that you had something to do with it. After the hurricane, Linda had such a rant.
I never rant, but I ranted.
And she ranted. And Governor Scott signed the bill today, yesterday or the day before.
Yeah, this week.
Every nursing home now must have a generator in it with enough fuel for 3 to 4 days, because so many people died after the last hurricane we had. And Linda went on a tear, so I figured he must have heard you. He signed the bill, so now it's law.
Thank you, Governor
wonderful.
Scott. That's a good thing, because we still have a long way to go with a lot of things to help our seniors, but that is unbelievable.
And that could be done easily.
Yep.
And it was long overdue. It needed to be in place before the disaster.
In
and that's
Florida?
Right. That's a huge oversight by not having that in place already, and also not answering those phone calls when they were put in.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing. And unfortunately, it takes pain and disaster
to make changes,
right? That's the
key. Well, you know, we're very – well, that mostly happened on the East Coast, and they've had a lot of hurricanes where most of the deaths were. Over here, we haven't had one in so long that we became complacent about a lot of things.
Yeah. Right.
Nobody was afraid.
No.
No, we're all going to stay. I stayed this time.
Actually, I evacuated, and we ended up in Jellystone Park in Mississippi not by choice. We couldn't find gas or places to stay. So there we were with Yogi Bear. Anyway, that was...
I used to stay at the Yogi Bear once.
Okay, well, you know what? That little train, I'm making coffee in the morning. I've got the hurricane news on, and then here comes Yogi Bear and Boo Boo on the train.
Well,
I was
hysterical.
Like, it was hysterical. So.
What a way to start the day.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Governor Scott. I just want to mention one thing before we talk to Dr. Dmal a little bit about it. I mentioned this on the show back. I have these cards, and on the card it says, the person I am with has Alzheimer's or dementia, which makes it difficult for them to find the right words and understand what is being said. Thank you for your patience. And I have these cards, and if you want, just private message me or let me know on Facebook and I'll send it to you, because this can really be a good tool for you when you go into a restaurant, when you go into a store. Lots of times when you go into a restaurant with someone that has Alzheimer's or dementia, and they may not be acting as appropriately as you think they should or whatever, the waitstaff just think, oh, that person's just a pain in the neck. They don't realize that that person may be having some issues. And if most of the time when you let them know, they're going to be nicer to you, they're going to help you more, and they'll know what to do. And we're starting to educate a lot of restaurants, too, to make separate sections for people with Alzheimer's and dementia, take all that stuff off the table, and it's not so noisy there. And when they come in, serve them something immediately. And they're even having restaurants now that are cutting up the food for them.
Wow.
So if you tell them ahead of time, I want the meal cut up.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you can have an enjoyable meal with your loved one.
That's really brilliant, actually.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I love
it. Absolutely brilliant.
So if you guys need
any
of these cards, just let me know. And let's get back to Dr. Mo.
Okay.
You know, and I mean, everything that you say kind of triggers thoughts in me. But, you know, my best friend, her partner has dementia, and he has frontal lobe dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the behaviors are similar, but eating, you know, going out to eat was something, you know, the things that you like to do start to diminish as the disease progresses. You know, you used to play tennis, now you don't. You used to go to movies, they don't understand. And so eating is one of
the... Take a bath, and you don't anymore.
Right.
Right. And going out to dinner was probably one of the last things. And her partner just was embarrassing when they'd go in, because he would be very fussy. And he'd have the waitresses going back and forth, and this isn't right, this is too hot, this is too cold, this is too tough, this isn't sweet enough.
Mm.
And I gave her a suggestion similar to, and this is fantastic, this card, and maybe even making a pin out of this looks like a good idea. But I suggested you call the restaurant ahead of time and just say, you know, this has nothing to do with the server. We love your restaurant, but, right. you know, these are the few things that we can do is go out to dinner. Can we have a private place to sit?
Right.
And, you know, a soft, you know, dietary thing, meal, easy,
and
chewable.
Don't be trying 10 restaurants. Find those one, two, or three really, that they yes, know you,
yes,
you know?
Yes, and the colors and the decor, and then it's familiar, and just as we've been talking about, it's comforting, and it's all about comfort and feeling good. Yeah. So, yeah. But this is brilliant. I'd make a pin out of that. Really.
So, let's talk a little bit more about the compassion of caregiving.
Okay. You know, when I start a group or talk to an audience, when I talk about Alzheimer's and dementia and communication, and my next book is about empathy and empathy building in medical practice, all medical practice, because that's really, I think, something that's necessary to be really highlighted in medical school for medical students, nursing students, pharmacologists.
Well, they are sometimes as much a loss as we are because they don't have this education.
They're at a loss, and also they're rushed. You know, nurses, doctors, I mean, outside of the long-term care setting, it's acute care, meaning you treat the problem and you're done. With somebody with dementia, you don't treat the problem and you're done.
And when you take them to the doctor, they're not there long enough for the doctor even to realize anything's wrong. Because I told my husband's doctor, and it was like, no, he seems fine.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Come live with me.
Right.
Because
right.
nobody knows better than the caregiver.
That's true. And, you know, you bring up a good point. My mom, who was a doctor, and her doctor was a colleague, she refused to get an MRI. So it was only after she had her near-fatal accident that I, being the power of attorney, thank God she had got
thank
that
God.
All set up after my dad died 6 years prior. But I got the MRI, which confirmed what I suspected for many years. But she passed the test, the MMRSC test at the doctor's office, and she gave appropriate answers.
Because they can fake it till they make it, too.
That's right. And the doctor looked at me like I was, you know, like some, you know, overbearing
I know, and you feel then you feel really bad.
Yeah,
I didn't. Yeah, I did. I was, and of course my mother would say, "Well, see, I told you so. There's nothing wrong with me."
Right, That's what my husband told the doctor. The nurse came downstairs and said to me, "He's fine." I said, "I'm not taking him home." Well, he came after me, and she chased him around the hospital, and I just watched and went. You see?
He's fine.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to say no to him, and sometimes you have to say no because it's dangerous, then the behavior comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because your husband was never used to anybody saying no to him.
Exactly.
And that's just his personality.
Yeah. So, you know, compassion. So compassion is shown through everything in life. Plants show compassion. They release hormones. And ways in which they communicate with each other, and insects that help them, like bees pollinating.
Right.
Compassion, dogs, cats, that's that nonverbal relationship and bonding and the oxytocin release. It's compassion for the dog,
I look at my dog in the eyes, I'm just like, you know my dog's so cute, too.
I would really like to see much more of a role with the use of animals, with working with dementia, and actually they're doing some good things with blood pressure and so forth. We have compassion. We just forget that we're compassionate people by, you know, some role modeling that goes on with the violence and in the world, if you will, through all mediums. But I start a group and ask them, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this radio show?
Because I care about the caregivers.
You care, right? People that do this work, we care. Our sense of purpose is caring, and everybody has some gift to the world. And I'm blessed in that this is I'm a nurse, I'm a doctor, and so I can
I just want to make somebody's journey a little easier.
And some people
just
don't know how.
To find some joy there. Well, because they don't know what to do. That's
right.
That's why they have to go to a support group and they get education. They see what worked for other people.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. So so compassion is a physiological experience. Your neurochemicals get released. That's why we feel good when we see certain movies. That's why you feel good with your dog. That's why you feel good by, you know, entertaining people at the beach. It's what happens in our bodies, and we're attracted to that. And the more of that we have, the more of it we want, and caregivers have that ability. But also the person with dementia feels that from you.
Yeah.
And it, you don't have to say much, because it's the way, what we had talked about earlier. It's your nonverbal. And really, when you approach somebody, examine what your intention is. Why are you here? Why am I with you?
Right.
Right? Some of it is work, and then I can categorize that. Well, that's my job, and I do what I need to do and want to do for my job, to do a good job. So compassion is the essence, really. And it's not just with dementia. It's, I really do believe in all healing, and there's countless studies on the quality of a relationship between a patient and their doctor, and the success rate.
And I think
of
the quality between the person who's being cared for and the person who's caring for
them, because I see that
every day. I can see the one who's patient and loving and understanding, and see how much better they're, not in every instance.
Right. And
but
the
then I can see ones that are cranky the whole time, and that's, nobody wants to be near them.
Right. And also the person, the caregiver. You as a caregiver, I as a caregiver got a lot. I'm a different person as a result of caring for my mother.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we all are.
I mean, there's a depth of understanding of the journey of our lives and sense of purpose, and that life is bigger than what we have and what we think we should have, but it's in the richness of our relationships and also the level of service that we can be to mankind. I mean, this is our gig. You know, we're good at this. But there's many, many, my husband's in the transportation industry, and so he feels like his gift to life is helping people get places.
Yeah.
And that's his gift. I would actually cause a lot of accidents if I were in that.
But you have to know what you're good at,
But being mindful of, and that's taking care of yourself, is being mindful about what goodness you bring to the world, and we all do.
Yes, we do. And with that, we're going to hear from our wonderful partners. And you know, I only have partners that are really good people. So give them a call and stay tuned. We'll be back in a little bit. I see, and so by the way, adult daycare centers are designed to provide care and companionship for older adults who need assistance or supervision during the day. Programs offer relief to family members and caregivers, allowing them to go to work, handle personal business, or just relax while knowing their relative is well cared for and safe. Maria's Adult Daycare offers mental, social, and physical activities for adults who've lost some independence due to cognitive impairments or chronic health conditions. They provide day services in a safe, caring environment, and they make a difference by ensuring compassionate, quality care. I love it when I visit there and see the smiling staff and happy clients. For a tour of Maria's Adult Daycare Centers, you can call today in Seminole at 727-393-7711 or in Countryside at 727-223-3999. Call Maria. Maria cares. Arden Courts is an assisted living facility designed to care for those that are struggling with dementia and Alzheimer's, where families and residents can feel the freedom with a nurse on site 24/7. Arden Courts provides specialized memory care in a safe and nurturing environment. They recognize each individual's physical, mental, and social needs and provide a secure environment that fosters independence for as long as possible. Walking paths, visual cues, and home-like amenities invoke a sense of freedom and independence. At Arden Courts, the goal is to make your loved one as comfortable and as independent and healthy as possible. They offer 10 hours a day of activities and programming, with a unique setting of a home-like environment and four themed houses. It warms my heart when I visit there and see how joyful the residents are. Please call or stop by to talk to a representative. Arden Courts of Seminole is at 727-517-7800, or you can reach them in Largo at 727-559-8411. You'll be glad you did.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
So call today, 1-800-585-7413. 1-800-585-7413 and use promo code Linda. That's 1-800-585-7413. Promo code Linda. Don't delay. Call today.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Don't turn it off now. You need this stuff. Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
But that means get your pen and pencils, because Lynn's got some good stuff to tell you.
I do. On April 5th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at Pacifica Senior Living Facility in Bel Air, there will be a seminar on navigating the waters of a recent diagnosis of dementia/Alzheimer's. There will be wonderful speakers, including our Linda Burhans.
Woohoo!
And Officer Joe Quattlebaum will be discussing his role. Oh, I do too. For more information or to RSVP, call 727-219-9572. That's 727-219-9572. On April 7th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., Palms of Pasadena Hospital in St. Petersburg is having their fourth annual health and wellness fair. There will be blood pressure screening, informational booths, exhibits, and demonstrations. A healthy lunch will be provided. No RSVP is required. Then on April 22nd, the matinee opera players will present Broadway. As always, it is pay what you can. Free snacks will be provided at intermission. For more information, call 727-204-4163. That's 727-204-4163. Come in. On April 25th, from 1 to 3 p.m., Suncoast Hospice Empath Health is having a birthday party for centurions at the Gathering Place in Clearwater. If you have reached 100 or surpassed it, you and a guest are invited. Please RSVP to D. Tui at 727-523-3427. That's 727-523-3427.
And I'm actually going to be there that day.
You're going to be 100 this year?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they said 96-year-olds could
come. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be interviewing some of the people that are there celebrating the
Oh, how fun is that?
Yeah, maybe we'll have some on the show. We'll see what happens.
That would be really fun.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And then Arden Courts of Seminole is offering free memory screenings on the third Friday of every month from 1 to 4 p.m. If you are worried about a loved one, you can make an appointment by calling 727-517-7800. That's 727-517-7800. Okay.
Remember, my friends, knowledge is power. So, Dr. Mo, if anybody wants to get your book, where can they find it?
Amazon.com is And then they can also contact me at, I'll give the number. Well, no, I shouldn't. I get too many phone calls. MOPERTIK2@AOL.com and MOPERTIK2@AOL.com. And I guess that's telling my age. All the people I know that have AOL still of a certain age group.
That's so. Me.
And the name of your book?
And the name of my book is, I've got a couple of them, but the one we're talking about today is Shaking Hands with Alzheimer's Disease, A Guide to Compassionate Care for Caregivers, 7 Steps.
And compassionate caregiving. It's a simple read. It's a good read.
Like and we're going to have it in the caregiver contest
basket.
Yes,
we'll have a book in our next winner of the caregiver contest. We'll get a copy of the book, too.
And then all the profits that I make from the book have always been given to the Alzheimer's Association because, you know, contributing to them, donating to them. I mean, it's all of us that have been through this. My other book is a book that I wrote when I was doing my master's degree, and it's a stress management book for young children, K through 4. And
well, that's good too.
That's international. It's been published internationally. It's techniques for young children and their parents and our teachers. It really is a very good book with the animation for young kids.
That's wonderful.
So it's like tools for your toolkit. I'm teaching kids early on in life about stress management.
And then get that at the same place.
Yeah. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for being here today. We're so glad you were here. I wish we had more time to
talk. I've heard about you for so long, and it's so wonderful to meet you.
Thank you.
I'm glad to meet your best friend, Lynn.
Thank you.
It's been lovely. It's an honor. And can I read a little something at the end here?
Go right ahead.
I just wanted to pull this out because this helped me when I was taking care of my mom. Accept the things to which fate binds you. And love the people with whom fate brings you together, but do so with all your heart. Thank you, ladies.
Amen. That's lovely.
Have a happy Passover, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
No, happy Easter. Thanksgiving.
Happy Easter.
Well, you just want another birthday.
Who knows? Go nominate a caregiver at the caregiver contest. Go to connectingcaregiversradio.com. Thanks for being here today. You know how much I love you guys. Like us on Facebook at Connecting Caregivers Radio, and look forward to spending some time with you next week. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up even your dark. Just call up my name, and you know wherever I am, I'll come running, oh yeah, babe, to see you again. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call. And I'll be there, yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got a friend. If the sky above you should turn dark and full of clouds, and that old north. Again.